hands won't be anything there but the hand marks of man, from man that is, or contained man, but marks they put there. We thank God for this great privilege and have this privilege today to speak to you from the Word of God. I thought a lot of people went home. I believe it's still a lot of them here. Thank the Lord for each one, and we are happy to have been invited to the conference. We've enjoyed it so much, as already been said, much more than have any other in a long time, because the Word of God, and I've first began to go to the conferences. Brother Clark, Brother Titus, and all these preachers that I've learned to know and love in the truth, they were preaching. And this conference seemed just like the one back then when it first started several years ago. I've been on this mission field, not where I'm at right now, all the time, but three or four different places from Eastern Kentucky in the last, well, we're starting on our 16th year on this very much needed mission field. And we do desire your prayers. We know that you do pray for us. This church and many others have been faithful in supporting us and keeping us there, which we praise the Lord for. I don't know. I thought I had me a message when I left home, but they have hit it from every angle, went through the middle of it, and everything else. But I'm not going to change it too much, because the Lord gave it to me. So, if you will, you turn with us to the book of Acts, chapter 13 and 14. We want to read some. I believe this is the work of God. I believe it pleases God for us to do His work. I believe it's the Lord's will that we should be about the Master's business. And that's my conviction. And I want you to read with me. In the beginning, you know, Paul was a great missionary. These brethren have read where that Paul was a servant. They've read where that Paul was an apostle. And he was an apostle, by the will of God. He was an apostle by the will of God. He was a servant of God, and where he got his help was from the Lord. And so he tells him, I want to just give you a verse of scripture before I read in the book of Acts. In 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5, the Bible said here, Paul said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And so, I believe that this is what we need today. We need God, first of all, in order that we might be a servant of God and a missionary or whatever that God has called us to do. We find some scriptures here in the book of Acts, chapter 13. It said here in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now then, in chapter 14 of the book of Acts, in verse 21, it said, "Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came unto the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." Now then, the Bible says in the next verse, in verse 23, "And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Perga, they came to Pamphylia." But down in verse, if you'll jump down with me to verse 27, and when they were come and gathered the church together and rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples. We find in this reading that Paul was a servant, and that Paul had been called of God and sent out. He was one that was sent. I believe today that the Apostle Paul was one of the greatest missionaries this side of Christ. He was, the Bible in history tells us that he was bit in body. He loved the Lord. And he was sent of God. He was a man of God. And God directed him. He understood what it took for him in order to serve God and be a servant. And that's what the Bible tells us in many places. I want to notice another scripture. The Bible tells in the book of Psalms, I'm not asking to turn there, it'll take you a little bit to read it, but I want to tell you what it says. In Psalms 33 and verse 4, the psalmist cried out, "For the word of the Lord is right." God's word is right. And he didn't stop there. He said, "And all his works are done in truth." We don't do any work for God out of the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." The truth. The Bible tells us in the book of John's Gospel, John 4 and 24, that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We cannot worship God in the spirit without the truth. We cannot worship God with the Word of God without the Spirit of God. And so it takes God working in us. And God works according to His own goodwill and purpose in the book of Ephesians. The Bible tells us here in the book of Ephesians in 1 and verse 11, it said, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Amen. And so today, I believe that the Apostle Paul knew what it took. I believe that Paul depended upon what it took for him in the time that God had him as a missionary. Now, if you'll turn with me, once again to the book of Philippians, turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, and verses 12 through 14. I believe this was the secret of Paul's life. Find it in a minute. I got it marked here somewhere. Philippians 3, 12 and 14. Got too many places to mark. I'll get it here in a minute. Philippians 3, 12 and 14. Notice what Paul said here. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. I believe here, my beloved friends, that this is the very secret of the Apostle Paul's life. Paul was a man educated. He was an educated man, but he was a man wise to the Scriptures. He loved the Scriptures. And he knew the Scriptures because the Bible said, Paul said, when it pleased God to separate me from my mother's womb and call me, I conferred not with flesh and blood, but I went to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where that he went. And you'll notice here, the Bible tells us here that in these Scriptures that we read, I believe that he was wise to the Scriptures. We find in another place where Paul cried out and said, the word of the Lord constraineth us. It constrains us. Now, I believe today that Paul's testimony as a missionary was Paul's regards this aim in his life. As he said, the word of God constrains us. I believe it regards this aim according to the strain of Paul in doing the will of God as being the aim of his life, which Christ had in view in his conversion. I believe that God saved him for this very purpose, and he found this in the will of God in his life. I believe today that this should be the will of God in my life and in your life, because God called us for a purpose. God saved us by His grace, and He called us for a purpose, and He has a job for us, everyone that he ever called. I believe that the Apostle Paul had this in mind. Whenever that God called, in other words, God put it there. He had this, when God called him by his purpose, and Jesus saved him through redemption, I believe that Paul made this his very life. You know what? God has a purpose in calling everyone. Paul said in the book of Philippians, "For to me to live is Christ." For to me to live is Christ. Die again. Me to live is Christ. I believe that was his earnest desire. I believe this was his great object in life. I believe that God had a purpose in saving him, just like he had a purpose in saving me, just like he had a purpose in saving you. This scripture was quoted this morning, but I already had it jotted down. I tell you what, they helped me, all these preachers. But let me show you something. I rejoiced greatly, but as the Bible said in John 15 and 16, ye have not chosen me. I have chosen you and ordained you that you might go forth and bring forth fruit unto me. And he said that your fruit may remain or might remain. You know, God expects us, when he saved us by his grace, he has a job for us, and he saved us for a purpose, and he gave us that job and that work to do, and he expects us to go on. Jesus said, this is the way that all men shall know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. You know, that's one of God's commands. A great command is love. And I believe today that this is why that we have everything, is because of the love of God. Because it's already been said here in the services that Jesus Christ, concerning the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ was the first one that God chose to be his helper and partner in the Trinity. Don't you know? And you know, he chose him, but men rejected him. The Bible said that he was disallowed or rejected of man, but chosen of God in precious. So Paul was saved under the, well, God said he's a chosen vessel. He's a chosen vessel. We are too. Bible teaches us that. Now, let's notice something else. It is God that works in us by his own will. 1 Corinthians 15:10, I believe it is. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. By the grace of God. So this was God's purpose in his life through Jesus Christ. Now then, in the book of Ephesians 2:10, the Bible said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, God has a purpose in the life of every individual that he saved. And that purpose is that we are created a new creature. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. We have a new life. We have a new heart. Our heart has been changed. We're made new. The Bible said that God but take out the heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. One that can be touched. One that can rejoice. One that can serve God. One that can grow under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Paul was called out to go out and preach the gospel. Yes, Jesus was with God. Notice in John's Gospel chapter 1, John chapter 1, notice what it said. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That's Jesus Christ. He is the Word. He is the Word of life. He is the water of life. He is the Word that lives forever and ever. John 1 and verse 14, the Bible said here, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. This was God being manifested in the flesh. God was manifested in the flesh through Jesus Christ, His Son, and by the Holy Spirit, which is the third person of the Trinity, is the one that calls you and I, the one that called Paul out to work and work for Him and serve Him. Yes? Jesus was the Word. In the book of 1 Peter 2 and verse 4. 1 Peter 2 and verse 4. To whom, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I believe this is saying one of the things that God would have us to do through the call of the Holy Spirit as we worship God. The background and the thing that pushes us on to serve God and to work for Him and to do His will is God through the Holy Spirit. Amen. And He leads us and He calls us to do the work. Now then, Bible tells us something else. I want you to notice something with me. In this 2 Corinthians chapter 2. There's not a one of us that are worthy today except in Christ. Bible said in verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house, pardon me, I'm reading the wrong place. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, that's what I'm supposed to be reading in. Second Corinthians chapter 2. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaven, For if I make you sorry, who is he that then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? Now, I want you to turn with me again. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We want to get back here to the scriptures where I quoted a while ago. We were dead. In Ephesians chapter 2 and 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. When in time past we walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, amen. Notice that. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he saved us, loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. We are not saved by accident. We were not saved because we wanted to, because we never did want to. Until God came on the scene. You know, the Bible said that we were all lost, and there was none that loved God. There was none that did good. No, not one. Because we've all come short of the glory of God. But you know what? Whenever that God began to work in our hearts through the preaching of the gospel, that's the reason that Paul said, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So God, who is rich in mercy, verse 60 said, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, what a blessing that we had to sit together last night in the blessings of Christ. In the, that, you know, it's just like heaven on earth. Knowing one day that we're going to be there with the Lord and rejoice forevermore. And forever and ever. But he said here, in verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace to his, in his kindness toward us through Christ. For it's through Jesus Christ that people are saved. You know, we can't get saved any other way. It's only one way. The Bible said one Lord and one faith and one baptism. One way to be saved today. Jesus said, I am that way. I am the way. John 14 and 6, I am the way. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Yes, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved and called out by the Holy Spirit to do the work of God. Do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I have this privilege today. God has made me a workmanship, one of his workmen. Now, I was born not when Paul was, but right at the right time when God wanted me to work. I was born at the right time. I was born again at the right time. I was sent out at the time and the place wherein that God called me and sent me and wanted me to be. Amen. I could have not done anything some other time. That's exactly what Paul done. That's what Jesus, when Jesus came into the world. The Bible said in Galatians 4, I believe it was, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. God sent him forth. Jesus died at the right time on the cross. He died at the right time, and he was buried at the right time, and he rose at the right time, and they tried to kill him several times before, but they couldn't touch him. He walked through the air and escaped. Came at the right time. You and I, in this 20th century, many, many years after these apostles and patriarchs of old that have finished their course with joy and kept the faith in all of it, we are at this time urged by the Word of God and by these to go out and serve the Lord that we might reach our goal as they did in the end. That is, whenever that God is through with us. Now, if you'll notice here, we were born at the right time when God wants to be. Paul said, 2 Timothy 2:10, therefore, because of that, I endure all things for the elect's sake. He was ready to do this, so we must be ready also. In the book of Proverbs 19 and verse 21, Proverbs 19, 20 and 21, hear, counsel, and receive instructions that thou mayest be wise in that latter end. This is time that God has had for us and saved for us to work in and worship him in and serve him. Verse 21, there are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Brother, we don't have to look for anything today but the grace of God and the Word of God and the will of God in our life to be and do what God would have us to do. Yes? Right time. Not late, and not early. Not early, and not 1 minute late. You know, that was the case of Christ. That was the case of the Apostle Paul, known as Saul of Tarsus before that, or when that he was struck down on the Damascus Road. Right at the time that God wanted to use him, that's when he calls us. We need to surrender that will and let God work in us as he did Paul, that we might do God's will in the way that he would have us do. I want you to notice something with me. In the second chapter of the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2, I heard a preacher preach from this text not long ago. Luke chapter 2 and verse 49. Well, let's read a little more before we read this to go with this. In verse 41, Luke chapter 2 and verse 41. Now his parents, they're talking about Christ here, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem as the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, went a whole day without Jesus. On the way home, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. After it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. All that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold thy father, and I have sought thee sorrow. You know what Jesus said to Joseph and Mary? He said to Joseph and Mary, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus had a job to do. He had a mission to make. He had a mission to run, and he did. He did it with joy. The Bible said that he became humble and humble servant. Came obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, over there in the book of Philippians. And so he said, I must be about my Father's business. God called you, and God called me, that we might do the Lord's work. And the Lord's business. God's business to save souls through his church, through his servants, and to us who are called of God and sent out by the Holy Spirit to do the work of God. Now then, Jesus did the work of the Lord. He fulfilled his mission. When he died on the cross, he said, Father, it's finished. Now then, the work of the Holy Spirit who calls you and me. He calls us today to the work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells in Matthew 16 and 18, upon this rock, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I believe that Jesus instituted the Lord's church before that he left and before that he went back to heaven's glory. I know that he did. He established his church. As has been said here in the conference, his kind of church. The Bible said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28 that God set some in the church first, the apostles. Then teachers and so on and on and on. But he goes back in verse 18 of that same chapter, and he said that God set the members, every one of them in the church. How? As it pleased God. So today, if we are not taking up our cross and following the Lord as God wants us to, we may not be set in the church by God himself. You know, we may not have a part in the church. God, we don't. God don't put us there. And if God puts us in the church, then we have a place in that church and a place to work for God, because God put us where he wanted us. We have a lot of members today that don't want to do anything in our mission work in our church at home. And maybe, I don't know, it seems like a lot of times that God didn't set them in there. Well, if they come in there and if they let me stay in there, no wonder they're not coming and doing nothing. But the Lord, the Bible said, the Lord set them in the church as it pleased him. And you know, we don't, a lot of times, I believe that people, whenever they don't love the Lord and they don't love the church and they can't do anything for God, I don't know if they're even saved or not, because if they're saved, they're out of God's will, or God hadn't put them in the church yet. There's something wrong. They may not have a place to fill in the church. But when God puts us there, the Bible says it's already been preached in this conference that is fitly framed together, and every joint supplied and all of that. You know, the Bible illustrates the church, the body of Christ, here on earth as a human body. Every place fits. It's set up, and he puts it in, puts them in there like he wants them. We find Paul writing in the book of 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 24, "Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it, will make you and me what he would have us to be." Galatians 1 and verse 10, Paul said, let's turn there and read it, lest I would misquote it. Galatians 1 and verse 10. Notice what the apostle says. "For to do I now persuade men." Pardon me. "For do I now persuade men, our God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Brother, we cannot please men at the same time and please the Lord. The preaching of the gospel, men, women, boys, and girls in this day in which we live, and it's always been like that, they don't like it until they are born again and receive the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God teaches them. You know, the Spirit is the teacher anyway. I try to teach people to tithe, and I haven't been very successful at that, because they don't like to tithe. But you know what? The Holy Spirit has to teach you that. In fact, the Holy Spirit has to teach us everything that we know. I used to think I believed in tithing, but apparently I didn't. Why, my pastors, they would preach tithing, and I'd say, "Yeah, I believe tithing," but I wasn't making but back then about $50 or $60 a week, and it took every bit of that for me and my wife and boy. And I thought I couldn't afford to tithe, but I want to tell you something today. I began tithing just a short time after that, whenever the Holy Spirit showed me that I need to tithe. I began to tithe, and God has richly blessed me ever since then. God will bless us in His Word whenever that we surrender to God's Word in whatever work or whatever place that God puts us in the church, that we might honor and glorify Him. Yes, we need, first of all, we need to be born again. Paul, before that he was saved, he persecuted the church. We all know the story of that. But now, since he is saved, they got scared of him there. You know, they people kind of scared of us, you know. People that we used to run with after we get saved, they kind of scared of us. And they don't want to have anything else to do with us. But we lose a lot of friends like that. Well, that is people that we thought were our friends. And a lot of them I thought was my friend. When I got saved, I wasn't their friend any longer. Because I had to talk about three pages of about that long with names all over it, who owed me money. When I got saved, that was it. They wasn't my friends anymore. And that wasn't all. I finally decided I'd never get it, and so I tore the paper up and threw it away, and marked the debt off. Well, I forgave them, I guess. That's what, you know what we ought to do? We ought to learn to forgive. Amen. As Jesus did. As he died. Before that he died and gave up the ghost. Said, "Father, forgive them." I think of another man. First martyr. There, that deacon, you know. Bible said that he was full of the Holy Ghost. And he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what to do." He died for the Word of God. I believe there's a day coming when we may have to die for the Word of God. You know what the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation? He said, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. And if you'll notice, he didn't say until death, he said unto death. In other words, if you die for Christ, unto your death, unto death. It means that we ought to stand for God. You know, we're not going to be here during the great tribulation period, but the Lord's coming before it gets that bad. But you know what? There will be some that will be beheaded, I guess, for the word of God during that time. And that's what he's talking about. John was beheaded. Paul lost his life. But you know what he could say? You know what? You know, he was one of the greatest fellows I ever read about in the Bible. He was a great man of God. He was a great missionary. As he became old, and he served the Lord for years. Many times there was many things he said that befall me, he said. Many hindrances, even a thorn in the flesh. Prayed for that to be moved, but God said, I'm not going to move it, but my grace is sufficient for you.